Hey, we call the meeting to order for February 13, 2020 at 4:02. Dr. Mitchell, please call roll.
Sure. Donna Friedman?
Here.
Harry Chen?
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp?
Here.
Angelina Pride?
Present.
David Malkin?
Present.
All board members are present.
Hey, are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
There is one change from the on the agenda from staff. The recognition of our students who participated in the London New Year's Day parade, they will not be occurring this evening. We were working with the band teacher, and they have the students are doing a practice this evening, and he felt that that would hinder them for an upcoming competition, so we will have to recognize them at a future meeting.
Okay, that item will be pulled. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting for Thursday, February 13, 2020, with that one item being pulled from the agenda?
I'll move.
Second.
Any discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed? Motion carried. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
Yes, there are.
Okay, we have three comments. Okay, please note that the public is welcome to provide comment on the board to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by the vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow the board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. The first person to speak would be Mr. Lohman.
Good afternoon. As we continue to find ourselves in this self-imposed crisis, I'm often asked by those on the management side if I understand the damage that is being caused. Let me remind you that I could see that.
But we clearly made an assessment that the damage that is being caused by the hoarding of financial reserves and the unmet needs that it represents is a far greater damage than the organizing that we are doing to achieve those righteous goals. You find yourselves tonight with yet another opportunity to end this crisis. You need to direct your team to settle this contract now and put this crisis to bed so we could tackle the crucial issues such as student performance. It is crucial to understand that ARE is not alone in this fight. I mentioned earlier, this is our community. We come here tonight representing the voices, not just of teachers, but of parents and students. We know that smaller class sizes, manageable special ed caseloads, support for disruptive student behavior, and teachers with time to properly plan, implement, and assess quality lessons is what our students in this community needs and deserves. Standing with us tonight are a strategically selected group of leaders that represent various parts of our community and are allies in this effort. For starters, you may recognize that I am wearing my CTA shirt. In my other role, I also serve as CTA Service Center 1 chairperson that represents nearly 70,000 educators in over 40 school districts in this region. Our union brothers and sisters stand shoulder to shoulder with us in this fight. And I know our neighboring union in Hacienda is also here tonight to express their support. Additionally, ARE is also a member of the Los Angeles Federation of Labor, the AFL-CIO. The Labor Fed represents thousands of workers from a number of various sectors of the economy. These workers live here, send their children to our schools, and additionally, our ties with community members run deep. Many of them were once our own members. Community members and retired teachers like Ms. Connington have a level of insight into our district that few others have, and they stand with us. It is crucial that you believe us when we say that we are not alone and that we will do whatever it takes to be successful. We do it because I was that student in that overcrowded class. I was that student that knows that we need support for special education. I was that student that needed to have the time to properly plan and stuff. lessons. Tell your team to put this to bed next Friday.
Mrs. Martinez.
Good afternoon. My name is Elda Martinez, and I am here representing the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. The LA County Federation of Labor is the second largest central labor council in the country, with more than 300 affiliated unions representing over 800,000 workers across all industries. We call on the Roland Unified School District to settle a fair contract with teachers now. Today, we stand with our union sisters and brothers in the Association of Roland Educators as you negotiate a contract that provides dignified working conditions, pay, and benefits. Our members live, work, and send their children here in this district, right? And we will be watching. Thank you.
Mrs. Cruz.
Hello, my name is Patty Cruz, and I am speaking today as a parent of a special education student and the daughter of a high school special education teacher here at RUSD. My mother is an SEC teacher and has seen many changes throughout the years, but has recently seen a dramatic increase in her class size. Her current largest class, being the biggest she has ever had, is 22 students with a variety of reading levels and behavior levels. This is way too many students in one classroom to service them effectively without any support. There are instructional assistants being pulled out of her class to go service and support students in general ed classrooms. Also, there are some behavioral issues going on, and some days it is solely a day of de-escalating and classroom behavior management rather than actual learning. In order to remedy this problem, she has expressed the need to get more instructional assistance support and/or decrease her class size. It is not just her who is struggling with this problem. One of her colleagues has been dependent on substitute instructional assistants since December of 2018. The instructional assistant position for his moderate to severe class is not being filled because of the high turnover rate for this position, because they're only 3-hour positions. How are routines and support to take place if our special ed teachers have to constantly train their instructional aides and therefore taking time away from their students and learning? With hours so minimal, we are never going to attract nor retain the best instructional assistants for our neediest students. Our students deserve continuous quality support, not the constant cycle of hiring new instructional assistants over and over again. Our students deserve an education that is not constantly being interrupted by behavior issues because the district refuses to recognize the daily problems and provide more support to our special ed students. I ask that you please look at how you can decrease class sizes, increase instructional assistance support, and show our students and teachers in this district that you care. You have a reserve of $54 million, and what our special ed students need, this district can't afford. Thank you for your time.
Ms. Katie Conaton?
Kathy
Conaton. Or Kathy Conaton?
As a community member and former teacher, I'm very disconcerted to learn that the teachers may strike. It is disconcerting because it indicates that the district and the teachers are not working in harmony and that there is a failure to communicate. I have worked for all the superintendents and boards from Stanley Oswald to Julie Mitchell. Over the years, for the most part, I have witnessed good organizational structure and good communication. Now I see a failure to communicate. Roland Unified's first superintendent, Dr. Oswald, knew every teacher, their name, where they taught, grade they taught, and how they taught. This was amazing. However, this was in the time when there was communication with teachers, principals, and the community. The district and the teachers worked collaboratively to problem solve by engaging in a continuous dialogue based on their perspective and experience and the challenges the district faced. Their motivation stemmed from a commitment to the community to provide a quality education for their children. The community was assured that whenever challenges the district faced, the administrative leadership in conjunction with the teachers would resolve and provide the best uninterrupted education possible. Recently, I have heard words like transparency and collaboration. These words are used to convince the community that these two words describe the essential traits in the working relationship between the district and teachers. Principals and community. This impending work stoppage speaks to a failure to communicate. It has long been known that the role of the district is to provide instructional leadership through a culture that understands and knows the common goals of the school within the district and works toward that end. The culture and work of the district reflects the values, norms, missions, goals, and actions of the collective. This culture should be built by the values we hold in common. It should be built upon an inclusive excellence that improves the academic success of students and faculty that supports all students. The parents of our community expect that this cooperative culture exists. Digging in our heels to see who can last longer and win their point of view is counterproductive to the work of the district, which is to provide an education for the children of the community. If we were to ask the parents of the community whose side they're on, it would be the teachers, no question. Who takes care of the children? Who educates and nurtures the children while helping them discover their true potential for the future? They need to be in the classroom. The community expects district leadership to be supportive in providing education for their children. The community is asking, where is the transparency and collaboration required for leaders to resolve the many challenges we face today? The work of the district is to provide support to the teachers and principals with providing education to the children of the community. The community is asking the question, where is the evidence of support that the district leadership has made a concerted effort to help resolve the challenges and differences of opinion between the district administration and the teachers? I recommend that the district rethink the motive for not attempting to resolve the current disagreement with the Remember, we look to the district leadership to provide the necessary leadership.
Good evening. My name is Billy Joe Wright, high school government and economics teacher and president of the Hacienda La Puente Unified School District Teachers Association. But many of you know who I am because rather than learning how my district and HLPTA achieved our historic three-year agreement, which includes a 12% increase, your district tried to tank our deal by calling LACO, our board members, and our district leadership. Although HLP is a much larger district, the board has approved and allowed your superintendent, Julie Mitchell, to drain money from the district by paying her more than other district leaders. Since Mitchell's arrival in 2015 until 2018, you have increased her pay by 29% and her overall pay and benefits by 34%. Geez, that means you've increased just her pay and benefits alone by 65%. My understanding is, I'm gonna move this over here, is that you use the excuse that you have to pay more to recruit the best talent. So are you saying that the same does not apply to the people who work directly with the students in the community? I represent over 1,050 HLPTA members, many of whom live within the district. My being here tonight is just the beginning of how we plan to support the students and families of Roland Unified by standing with ARE brothers and sisters as they advocate to prioritize students first and demand a fair contract for their members. Speaking of placing students first, I hear this board has still not passed a resolution in support of Schools and Communities First. Do you not believe an additional $9 million per year would provide the necessary resources for Roland schools alone? Maybe this board and superintendent don't really care. I have heard Mitchell shopping around for another fat contract elsewhere. Do not even look in our district. I have heard of other board members that have been over it and are ready to retire, including those that are smiling on the bench and may not even live in the district. All this while Roland educators have prioritized students ahead of themselves. Almost two-thirds of what they are asking for creates safer learning environments and schools for students, better servicing of students in special education, and more. I doubt that when you negotiate these huge increases for the pay of the superintendent, that she ties these matters related to student safety and academic learning for negotiations. I know this because educators in the classroom are the ones who always put students first. So how did HLPTA get here? HLPTA and HLPUSD worked together collaboratively. That's why we've passed the Schools and Communities First bond, bringing $12.8 million more per year in our district, and we work together to gather signatures. You all seem to be going in opposite directions. You seem to take the rights away from educators, wanting to take the rights away from educators, and are nitpicking on silly things based on egos, which totally fit what I've seen just here on the board today with the looks that you're giving people. Shame on each of you. I hope you begin to take your ethical and moral responsibility seriously and settle a...
Good afternoon, distinguished board members, Dr. Mitchell. My name is Elise Perez, and I am an eighth grade student at Tulsa Academy. I am a member of the debate team and as the color guard team. Not only am I a student of Roland Unified, I am also the daughter of a district teacher. I know firsthand what goes on in the household of a teacher. I was in the first grade when my mom was first hired. The joy and excitement quickly turned into confusion and sometimes even sadness. I felt that when she became a teacher, she would have more free time to spend with us, but no. Those long hours at work, at the school she studied, I became long hours at the school she worked at. My oldest brother and I often joined her after school and waited for her to do her planning and grading before we could go home. That long center table became our dinner slash homework table slash bed. As a first grader, I couldn't understand why my mom, who was a teacher, could never join me on a field trip or how I often had to look for her in the crowd for her during award assemblies, hoping she would be able to come and support me. Now I know it's because teachers do not have the freedom everyone thinks they do. Yes, they often put their students first, but when it comes to their own children, they have to be careful or choose wisely how they spend their time, since they need special permission to be able to come and witness or be a part of our own special moments. This is why I believe, it is imperative to respect our teachers' PN days. I would also like to speak about the high school insurance prices teachers have to pay. Growing up in a single mom's household with her paying more than $1,000 a month can really be the could really be felt. It is a lot cutting down on this and cutting down on that just to be able to afford the bare necessities and health insurance. So in conclusion, I ask that you respect teachers' PN days and consider the financial hardships that come with supporting a family when a teacher is asked to pay so much for medical insurance. Thank you for your time.
Caitlin Oropesa. Can you please speak into the mic when you speak? Thank you.
Good afternoon, board members, Dr. Mitchell, and members of the Roland community. My name is Caitlin Oropesa. I am an eighth grader at Telesis Academy. I am in the color guard team, debate club, and in the ASB class. Being so involved in after-school activities and always staying after school to get an extra support for classes, I've witnessed how many additional hours teachers put into their work, including supervision duties and adjunct hours. A prime example is Ms. Wu Jokno, a seventh grade teacher who also coaches our Science Olympiad team. Ms. Wu is a great teacher who cares and loves for her students, but she's also a great teacher who willingly gives up her time, money, and ears to make students feel safe, comfortable, and loved. Like many other teachers, she gives up her lunchtime and after school to help students out with schoolwork or even personal problems. Ms. Wu and other loving and caring teachers deserve respect and a fair contract now because they need to give us students the best education possible. Although saving money is a big picture in the district's book, giving students attention and resources we need to succeed is a more worthwhile investment and will have bigger dividends and profits in the long run. Before we lose everything that makes this district great, let's support our teachers. Thank you for your time, and please give teachers and students the money and resources we deserve.
Thank you. We'll now recess to closed session at, time is it here? 4:21. Thank you. Good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:04. All in attendance will be led to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by the Nogales High School student Jesus Ruiz.
May everyone please stand. Right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Jose. Jesus. There is no closed session report tonight.
There is?
Yes. I'm sorry. Okay.
Handed it to you.
There is a closed session report tonight. Yes, right. Closed session report on a motion by Angelina Pride and seconded by Lynn Embenkamp. The Board of Education ratified a settlement agreement with former La Puente Valley ROP employee number EC2414061. The vote of the board was as follows. Mr. Kerry Chan, yes. Ms. Lynn Embenkamp, yes. Ms. Donna Friedman, yes. David M. Malkin, yes. And Ms. Angelina M. Pride, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, on behalf of the board, I would like to recognize and thank the Nogales High School students, parents, and staff, and community members for providing refreshments tonight. I guess they're outside in the hallway.
Yes.
I'm not getting any.
Yes, there was some there for you.
Go out there and enjoy them. Don't worry about getting up. Nogales High School Principal Dr. Brombaugh, along with staff and students, will provide a brief report highlighting what is going on in their organization over at Nogales. Dr. Brombaugh.
Good evening, Roland Unified Board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet members, Roland educators, and community. I am Andrea Brombaugh, and I am honored to serve as principal at Nogales High School. Others have joined me to share a few positive aspects of Nogales this evening. First, I'm going to start with Ms. Tiffany Tay, who's an RUSD TOSA at Nogales.
Hi, I'm one of the instructional coaches, and I'm just here to share our journey so far. So this year, we're focusing around student engagement, and this is really the journey of the last 3 years. We're really focusing on successful learning by all students and clarity of instructional focus. And just a few years ago, we really started narrowing down our focus to lesson design. And now we've landed in stage three, which is designing learning experiences and instruction. And in August, our staff took some time to develop a common language around what engagement looks like and then what structures would help facilitate those learning experiences for our students. And so in September, our staff engaged in a professional development with Kagan to learn about what those strategies could look like to help facilitate so that all our students have that access to enriching learning experiences and the opportunity to authentically engage with one another. And here are some pictures of some successes in our classroom. So our teachers have really been working hard to just allow our students to engage authentically in math and science. You see in criminal justice. So we are just celebrating. And so moving forward, we're looking to refine these engagement strategies in our classroom. Thank you. And I'm going to introduce Mr. Kim, the teacher of our SERV class, and Aiden Avalos, our student.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to see you. Good evening, guys. My name is Paul Kim. If you don't know what the SERV program is, it's a Tier 2 intervention program where we focus mainly on social and emotional learning. And for the past 3 years that SERV has been around at Nogales, the amount of relationships and the fruit we've seen has just been incredible. I have one of my student leaders here with me, Aiden here. But I just wanted to mention, you know, the fruit of attendance going up and disciplinary issues going down and GPA is going up. It's all accredited to the structure of the peer mentoring aspect of it. And yeah, without these guys developing into leaders and mentors, it just wouldn't be possible. So before I turn it over to him, thank you so much for the support over the years just the mental health wellness aspect of it the fruit that we've seen has just been incredible. So here's Aiden Avalos.
Hello, my name is Aiden Avalos. I'm a senior at Nogales High School, and I've been in the SERV program for 2 years. This is my second year as a leader. And the SERV program helped me a lot in my SERV or in my high school career. It helped me learn problem solving with things I couldn't handle by myself, such as problems at my house and with other friends, and helped me strengthen relationships with my family members and my other friends that I once had or have now. And also growing as a young adult, trying to get through high school. And my first year being a sophomore in the SERV program, I had much support from Mr. Kim and my SERV leader too. And my second year as a SERV leader, it's pretty rewarding giving back to the SERV kids that need help and also having the support of me and Mr. Kim, giving them someone to talk to and letting them know that there's always going to be someone there that needs or that wants to talk to them as long as they need the help, especially with topics from the house or from their own issues. And yeah. Oh yeah, and now please welcome Jesus Ruiz to discuss our band program.
Hi, my name is Jesus Ruiz. I'm a senior at Nogales High School and the current drum major. Oh, sorry, and the current drum major of Nogales High School. Thank you for everybody for coming. On the behalf of the Normal Regiment, thank you so much for allowing us this wonderful trip of once-of-a-lifetime opportunity of going and representing our district at the London New Year's Day Parade. So thank you for that. It's amazing to be a part of this program that really represents what our school is with our hard work and determination. I really love having the opportunity to communicate with other members in my group and being a leader of our school district. So thank you for this opportunity, and I know it took a lot of preparation, planning, and decision-making for the London trip, but I just want to thank all of you for allowing us to go. It was a lot of fun, and thank you to our boosters. I just want to say that, and thank you to our band director, Mr. Pollock, for always keeping us going. Tomorrow we are going to be featured in the Disneyland parade, so thank you so much.
My name is Anthony Martinez. I'm a junior from Nogales High School, and I'm involved in the auto program. And just recently, I took home first place in the Rio Hondo competition. thank you. And currently, we have an ongoing project known as the Switch Vehicle, which is an electric car. And basically, today was actually our date upon completion, so it's pretty nice that we were able to complete it. And overall, I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity to, you know, get my feet into the water as into the automotive industry. Okay, thank you.
Next, I would like to introduce our athletics programs who have advanced to CIF, and we will start with boys basketball.
Hello, I'm Victor Endo.
And I'm Jacob Romero. We're both four-year basketball players on the team. We're also both varsity captains.
In the past 4 years, we've gotten two straight league championships and one CIF championship. So I guess you could say we're pretty successful, and we hope to keep going. And my favorite part of this program is just the relationships and the brotherhood that you get out of it. Like, I can call Jacob whenever I want, whatever I need. He's like my brother, really. Thank you.
Hello, my name is TJ Campbell. I'm the current basketball coach at Nogales High School. I'm also alumni class of 93 from Nogales. So I'm very proud of the experience that I have as a Roland Unified student and now as a coach. We're proud to have an all-alumni staff at Nogales High School at our basketball program right now. And like he said, with the CIF championship, and we're now back-to-back Mount View League champions, we've had a great run of this last 3 years. So thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Our girls' water polo was not able to make it tonight, but they also did very well this year and qualified in advance to CIF. We do have boys' soccer here this evening.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you guys for having us. I'm Francisco Pina. And
I'm Rahel Silva.
And we're here behind the varsity soccer team. We've been on varsity since our freshman year, and we've made CIF all 4 years.
We were undefeated league champs as well. Our record was 8-2.
Yeah.
And we advanced to our first round of CIF.
Yeah, we won yesterday, took the dub. And we play we play tomorrow at Oak Hills at 3. So we're very excited for that. Yeah, tomorrow. All right, thank you. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you for supporting us and
having us
this evening.
Yeah, thank you guys. Yeah.
We would have representatives from girls soccer and wrestling as well, but they are actually competing at this moment, and so hopefully doing well. Thank you very much for having Nogales featured in the spotlight this evening.
Thank you very much. You know, I just received a letter today from a parent that had the option of sending her student to several different districts, and she picked Roland because of the diversity of the education her child would get. And you covered right here with technical education, academic, and with sports. And that's exactly what she wanted her child to have. Thank you very much for that. Can you come forward and we'll take a picture of everybody in front? Okay, next we'll have the superintendent's report, Dr. Mitchell.
So thank you very much. The district is very proud to share with the board and community several recent awards that they have received. So Alvarado Intermediate has been named for the sixth time as a 2020 Schools to Watch Model Middle School. This state and national distinction identifies Alvarado as a high-performing middle school in the areas of academic excellence, social equity, and responding to the needs of students. The first Alvarado first received the award in 2004 and then has been redesignated in 2007, 2011, 2014, 2017, and now again in 2020. We were also just notified that Hurley Elementary has received the state's Seal of Excellence Award by the California Association of Bilingual Educators for their outstanding Spanish dual language immersion program. Only 4 schools from across the state were named for this award, and they will receive it in April at the state conference in San Francisco. It was also a pleasure to join Killian, Yabara, and Blandford Elementary for the California Distinguished School Recognition Dinner on Monday, and they all represented our district well. Many of our students are showcasing their learning across the district. Oswaldo Academy held their 6th grade exhibitions yesterday and today. Yabara will hold theirs on February 24th, and Alvarado has their student showcases on February 20th. Also wanted just to send a reminder that our new students registering for 2021 school year can register now online, and our priority enrollment is through February 27th. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Now, my favorite part of the program tonight, we'll have the student body representatives' reports. We'll start with Brianna Lopez from Nogales High School. And okay, there was a spotlight, so We're all going to go to Disneyland with you. So, okay, the second one will be Lee Yang from Roland High School, ASB, Speaker of the House.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Joseph Cortez, and I am the Commissioner of Renaissance for Roland High School. Since our last meeting, Roland has been quite busy, as always. On Saturday, January 25th, Roland hosted a heart screening through the Saving Hearts Foundation. This event was in memory of an alumni, Michael Ortega, who passed away due to a heart issue. The screening allowed any person between the ages of 12 to 24 to have a free heart screening. While waiting to meet with the cardiologist, students were able to learn CPR taught by UCLA students who were also Roland alumni. 221 students were able to participate. On January 27th, seniors had their January senior event called Jam in January, where seniors received a free McChicken and iced tea in our new hideout. At this event, seniors were able to vote for which teachers they would like to be part of the faculty honor at the graduation ceremony. January 30th, we held our second annual Ready, Set, Roland, where members of the community could come and check out all of Roland's academic programs, athletic programs, as well as our extracurricular activities. February 3rd through 7th, the sophomore class hosted the annual dodgeball tournament. 8 teams of 10 players played to see who would challenge the teachers on Friday. Over 10 teachers participated in the teacher versus student game, which allowed both teams to exert their power. It was a great way to end the week. On February 5th, 30 of our ASB members attended an ASB symposium with the other 5 schools in our athletic league. On this day, students not only got to meet new people, but learned leadership skills to show empathy. This past Tuesday, all seniors had a mandatory assembly to discuss information about grad night, graduation, and other senior activities. Furthermore, Dee Hankins, an inspirational speaker, came and motivated the seniors to finish off the school year strong and to use this time to make memories. We also had started to distribute ASB applications for class officers, ASB president, ASB vice president, speaker of the house, and member at large for next year. These applications will be due February 18th at the mandatory meeting discussing the election week. Starting this Friday and carrying on to next week, we will have our annual Random Acts of Kindness Week. During this week, students will receive little gifts to show and motivate kindness. This Friday, students will receive hearts with words of encouragement and love in light of Valentine's Day. Other events will include motivational post-its on their locker in the morning to start their week right, as well as a kissing booth will be available as students can receive a Hershey kiss. On Friday, February 21st, we will be having a Renaissance Assembly. This year, the theme is Avatar: The Last Airbender. The assembly rewards students for academic excellence as well as academic improvement. Attendees will be able to watch an entertaining assembly with student actors and receive a free t-shirt. The spring dance theme was revealed through a promotional video last week. The theme is Illuminate and will be February 29th from 8 to 11 p.m. in the gym. To know what to wear to the dance, a spring fashion show happened during lunch yesterday where unique outfit ideas that one can wear to the dance were displayed. Campaigning for ASB positions will start March 5th through the 8th. It seems very early as my time giving these speeches is coming to an end, but as we know it, our seniors will be walking across that stage. Our winter sports were very successful this past week. Boys basketball, girls soccer, girls and boys wrestling, and girls water polo have all advanced to CIF. 9 boys and 3 girls wrestling will be competing this Saturday at CIF. 1 girl and 2 boy wrestlers were Valley Vista League champions. Girl water polo won their first round of CIF and are traveling to the Santa Barbara area tonight. Girls soccer is currently playing first round. Our visual and performing arts programs continue to practice to prepare for upcoming competitions as well as spring musicals. Comedy Sports will be holding their annual Valentine's match tomorrow night in the hideout. Roland High School is chugging along with event after event, and all the students, teachers, faculty are all modeling the true Raider goals of becoming thinkers, communicators, and contributors to be a better Raider every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne. Thank you. And the last one is from Santana High School. We have a duel coming up, Pablo Oliveras and Arcielo Marcel.
Good evening, board members and Dr. Mitchell. My name is Araceli Maciel.
My name is Pablo Olivares.
Yeah, just try to speak into the mic.
Okay. How are you this evening?
Fine. How are you?
Good.
For the month of February, Santana ASB has
been engaged in fun activities for the school.
We plan to have a donut eating contest where each contestant would have to try and eat a donut on a string with his or her hands behind her back.
The first time we tried this, too many students disqualified themselves by eating the donut with their hand. So we had a rematch this past Tuesday, and Mr. Chua's homeroom won the competition fair and square. They have decided that their prize will be a pizza party next week.
Right now, we're in the middle of a fundraiser for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Each homeroom is raising money until February 21st, which will be donated to families who have children that are struggling with leukemia and lymphoma.
Tomorrow, Friday, we are passing out our Valentine grams. We ended up making almost $250 with the fundraiser, which was a lot of work, but also a lot of fun. Thank you, Dr. Mitchell, for supporting our Valentine fundraiser.
Now ASB is looking to March, where we will be hosting our second blood drive on March 2nd. Our last blood drive students donated 34 pints of blood to the Red Cross, and this next month we hope to exceed that number.
So we're at the end of March. Santana will be going through the WASC, the Western Association of Schools and Colleges visit. We are looking forward to showing the visitors how great Santana is and the amazing programs that we have for our students.
We wish you a happy Valentine's Day and a good evening.
Have a good evening.
Good evening. I'm Maria Davila, Director of Nutrition Services, and I'm happy to be here this evening to bring you some updates on the community eligibility provision, which I'll refer to as CEP for the remainder of this presentation. So a quick recap of the CEP. It's one of the federal provisions established to increase access to the National School Lunch Program and School Breakfast Program, while decreasing the administrative burden on the school district. Schools on the CEP do not collect and certify meal applications to determine eligibility and do not complete the annual meal verification process. The CEP uses an alternative method for claiming student meals in participating schools. At CEP schools, since both breakfast and lunch are served at no charge to all enrolled students, there's no need to collect meal payment. Funding to support meals is provided in the form of meal reimbursement to the cafeteria fund and is based on the number of students directly certified as of April 1st. I'll talk more about direct certification in a couple of slides. The CEP really shifts the focus away from collecting money toward producing and presenting high-quality meals to students. With the CEP, all students receive two nutritious meals at no charge to the household, while reducing administrative costs and paperwork for the school. Meal lines move faster because nutrition services team members do not have to identify each meal served as free, reduced price, or paid. Since there's no longer a need to categorize student eligibilities at the point of service in order to collect meal payment, the stigma surrounding free and reduced price meals is eliminated so that all students have access to meals. This means more students consume nutrient-dense meals, which promotes improved academic performance, decreased sick days, and better school attendance. Another benefit is a decrease in meal debt for schools that participate in this provision. We are currently in our second year of operating the CEP, where in year one we began with seven schools that included five elementary schools, one intermediate school, and one high school. The CEP is a four-year program, with year one being the base year in which the reimbursement rate per meal is established. As we know, the local control funding formula relies on some of the income data that is provided through meal applications. With implementation of the CEP in year one, the district created the LCFF survey in order to gather the needed income data that determines in part the district's funding. Currently, in our second year operating the CEP, we established a new base year allowing three additional schools to participate, including two elementary schools and one more high school, for a total of 10 schools operating the CEP. In a collaborative effort to gather funding data for the LCFF in a more efficient manner, the district worked to gather income information at the start of the school year through the student registration or data confirmation process. At the conclusion of the data confirmation process, the education benefits form was developed and given its new name, which better reflects the value of filling out the form. In addition, Nutrition Services worked to conduct direct certification matches more frequently. School eligibility for the CEP relies on the number of students that are directly certified. Direct certification is a process where students receiving specific types of public assistance, including CalFresh and CalWORKs, are automatically qualified to receive benefits, including free breakfast and lunch. If a student is directly certified, there's no need for the family to complete a meal application. Direct certification matches are required for all schools participating in the National School Lunch and School Breakfast programs a minimum of 3 times per year. Once the numbers of directly certified students are established as of April 1st, the identified student percentage is calculated. Schools with an identified student percentage of 62.5% or higher are eligible to be reimbursed at the free meal rate for all meals served. The better chances, so more students that are directly certified at a particular school, the better chances of that school qualifying to operate the CEP. As I mentioned earlier in the presentation, a portion of funding for California school districts relies on income data provided from families. With the traditional meal eligibility model, a meal application must be submitted annually to determine meal eligibility for students that are not already directly certified. With the meal application, the USDA defines the required data fields on the meal application, which are considered extensive. Also, families can be given the opportunity to apply but cannot be required to submit a meal application. In year two with CEP, the district has noted the benefits of operating this provision. Unlike the stringent process surrounding meal applications, minimal information is requested on the education benefits form. In addition, the district has made efforts to work with families to complete the education benefits form. Administrative Services worked to develop a plan and timeline that included steps to gather necessary data for the local control funding formula. Being in a mixed district, that is, not all schools within a district participating in the CEP, requires a unified team approach and clear messaging, with outreach to families to avoid confusion surrounding the operation of two types of meal programs. This streamlined approach utilized in year two under the direction of Administrative Services proved to be beneficial as participation increased. So in the month of March, child nutrition programs nationwide celebrate National School Breakfast Week from March 2nd through March 6th. The School Nutrition Association supports programs with this celebration to increase breakfast participation and to spread the word that school breakfast is healthy and delicious. The theme for this year's celebration is School Breakfast Out of This World, and pictured here is Ambassador Milk, he's on the bottom corner, one of the characters that supports healthy eating. The Nutrition Services Department continues its work with evaluating cost-effective ways to offer breakfast to all students. Since AB 3043 was signed into law, allowing California schools to offer universal breakfast beginning in the 1920 school year, the district continues to research how to do so in the best way possible. We continue to process direct certification and will look at our numbers on April 1st. These numbers will help us to determine whether we expand the CEP to include more individual schools or groups of schools, or maintain the 10 schools currently operating CEP and implement universal breakfast at the remaining schools. We will determine which method will provide the best service to students with no impact to the district. We look forward to finding new and innovative ways to best serve students. And that's the end of my presentation.
Any questions? Mr. Kitchen?
We have 17 schools available. So the two schools not qualify? Which two schools? So we have 10 schools.
So we have 10 schools on CEP?
And seven schools, right? Seven schools first year, 10 schools second year.
Yes.
So, but we have 19 schools, so there are two schools not qualified.
Ten in total.
In total?
This year, so there are
mm-hmm.
nine schools.
Oh, okay. Nine schools, I see. I thought you were 17, yeah.
Any other questions? I just want to add that, you know, this has been something I've been really interested in and done a lot of reading on it. And having a good nutritional balanced meal, especially breakfast in the morning, shows, and there's been numerous studies that have been done, I can send them if you want them, that shows that there's less behavioral problems, students are less likely to fall asleep in class, students are more attentive, which is, goes along with not falling asleep in class. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is later in life, it creates less health problems, obesity, diabetes, things like this. So it's a win-win situation, not just for now, but for future when the students are adults. So I'm really a big proponent of this, and I'm really thankful that you're doing this and really appreciate your effort in doing this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Mitchell, are there any requests to speak this evening?
Yes, there are.
Okay, we'll be asking you to come up to speak, and please speak into the microphone when you speak. The public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow the board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Dr. Mitchell? Okay, Mr. Harrison?
Oh, that wasn't on. And I complain about quite a few things. I find a lot of issues that need to be addressed. But today I'm here to address an issue that I was premature on. I worked with Dr. Youssef quite a while at Nogales High, and I was a little apprehensive about Dr. Mumba coming on. But since she's been on, she's an outstanding leader. She's well-educated. She's open to suggestions. She has a clear open door policy. The staff loves her. Hope the staff can work with her. She's high profile. She's easy to come in contact with. She's a graduate. She's very knowledgeable, very, very well educated because she went to Loyola University. So did I. Okay. So, but I'm hoping that she stays there for quite a while because I really feel that she will make a difference. You know, I've worked with her, I've talked with her, and I see no shortcomings whatsoever. She's a joy. She's a nice, bright face for Nogales. I feel under her leadership, it's going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight, but I already see a change happening. Kids are more polite. The staff is a lot more behind. Well, they are behind her. She supports her staff, and I'm hoping that with her leadership, Nogales can finally, you know, get on the right track. So I want to apologize first for not welcoming you on board and say that I welcome you on board and I really look forward to working with you. You're a fine individual. Okay. Now, let me get to another issue here. We have perhaps, I think, the greatest asset of Rolling Unified are their secretaries. I've gone to every school in the district on many occasions, 2 or 3 times, and at no time have I ever run into people who are more polite, professional, knowledgeable, and supportive of Rolling Unified. I think the secretaries are indeed your jewel, and I really am concerned with losing any of them. I'm hoping that we can come to terms with the contract, give these fine ladies what they truly deserve. I mean, they're good. I walk through the halls here, and people, hi, Mr. Harris. I go, I don't know you. How you know me, you know? But they're... You have one up the front in the mornings when I come in complaining, and she's very, very cordial, very nice. I think she's a part-timer. So you do have excellent secretaries, and I'm hoping that we can resolve these problems without strikes and, you know, slowdowns. you know, and not be so aggressive toward each other. Same goes for the teachers. I feel our teachers are outstanding. And again, I will tell teachers, and I'll reiterate this to, to our union people. We don't need to strike to be successful. We need to work together. Don't strike. Work together, we make things happen.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison. Amy Yerbian.
Good evening, school board, Dr. Mitchell, and cabinet. My name is Amy Yerbian, and I'm the current vice president of ARE. This past month has been busy for our association, but we had a chance to finally revisit our goals. And while a fair contract is one of our main objectives, this is not the only purpose of ARE. Like you, we care about the overall and ongoing welfare of our district. I want to be very clear that schools and communities first is not the answer for our current state of negotiations. What ARE is asking as we go 228 days without a contract is a settlement that the district can absolutely afford currently by spending down a small percentage of its outlandish $55 million reserve. We know that in order to ensure that our schools are properly funded and maintained, we cannot just rely on the goodwill of community members to pass bonds. Everyone in the state must do their job, and that includes large corporations. As always, ongoing funding of Roland Unified is important for our association, and therefore having the district join us on getting the Schools and Communities First initiative on the November ballot should be one of the top priorities for all of us. In our community, there has been misinformation on what Schools and Community First is going to do if it gets passed on the November ballot. As a non-incorporated town, oftentimes our community members look to the board to bring clarity to issues that will affect the greater RUSD community. This is why I am here tonight. I am asking on behalf of ARE and the community for your leadership. In 1978, Proposition 13 was passed by California voters, which served as a protection for homeowners that they were concerned about raising property taxes. When first implemented, residential and corporate property were more or less equal. However, there was major loopholes that did not reassess the property value of corporate properties like Chevron or how Nogales mentioned Disneyland earlier tonight. They still pay property taxes on 1978 land values, while residential properties have been reassessed over time. Today, there's a huge inequity where homeowners are paying the lion's share of 72% of property taxes, and while large commercial property is only at 28%, property taxes and funding programs cannot continue to be on the backs of the middle class. Our schools have suffered 40 years of disinvestment, and now it's time to reclaim this money back. When we pass the Schools and Communities First initiative on the November ballot, Schools and Communities First will bring an ongoing revenue of $9 million to Roland Unified over time. Tonight, I ask the school board, the cabinet, and anyone else in this room to sign the petitions to get the SCF initiative on the November ballot, and I also would like to ask the school board to pass a resolution at the March meeting that supports Schools and Communities First. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Andy Ying.
Hi, I'm here to support the teachers. I have two children that attend Oswald Academy and one child that attends Roland Unified, Roland High School. While it is important that the school district upgrades the school with the bond money, but it is more important that the schools have a good and dedicated teachers. Without good teachers, what is a school? It's just an empty building. These teachers, like Ms. Rodriguez, Ms. Henley, Ms. Buckmeyer, Ms. Jim, and Ms. Dudulau of Oswald Academy, and Mr. Chen of Roland Orchestra, have made a big difference in my children's lives. I urge you and the district to support the teachers in their negotiations. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Humphreys?
Hello, and as always, thank you for all the good things you do. It has been noted in the news that Alvarado is a national super school several times over with Principal Scott Canivias, if I'm saying his name correctly, at the helm. He should be considered as superintendent material. And why hasn't this district taken these teachers' staff, gone throughout the entire district to raise the level of all schools to meet or exceed standards, which would make Mr. Williams quite happy? And also, Mr. Malcolm, last time with the board here, you mentioned about shoes, et cetera. As a board member, your primary duty and responsibility is to produce and oversee and the establishment of the best education platform possible. All of you are lacking. Ms. Pride, you stated that you hope that the new board members will love our children. As noted, mission one is the education platform. The parents and teachers can take care of the daily task love priority. And Ms. Ebenkamp, you have an issue with the culture. Culture is an essential aspect of the education platform, i.e. putting a square peg in the round hole. And Ms. Freeman, ditto on the mission situation. And unfortunately, all of you engaged in this. You hired a superintendent, and Mr. Chen allowed her to publicly bully him. And it's on video. You don't have to believe me. We need to know who's wagging the tail. And Mr. Flores and all and myself were elated about the budget projections. And yes, with $54 million budget excess, a fifth grader could have accomplished that task. Also, in the last meeting, notice he had a PhD come to the mic and talk about part-time persons. You're not producing widgets. The odds are stacked against any rapid change to the real-world needs of this district. That would require transparency. And you telling the parents that it is their responsibility to see that their children get a relevant education that this education platform provides, without which their children will join the millions of unemployed and unemployable. And also, Mr. Malcolm mentioned about board agreement, disagreement. Disagreement is good. And that's why that's the only way we can move forward. People all go like cattle, like lemmings down the same road to disaster. It is, and I look forward, hopefully, Mr. William Harrison will be a new board member in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Ms. Hernandez? Lita Hernandez?
Hello, everyone. My name is Lita Hernandez, and I am the newly elected first vice president for CSEA. This school year, our chapter has gone through a number of changes, and I am proud to say that we are stronger than ever. We have had so many members engaging, attending meetings, asking questions, and most importantly, showing pride in what they do each and every day. Our negotiations team and the district has been hard at work since January 2019 to present our members with a well-deserved, fair, tentative agreement. I encourage the board members and district to continually remember how important every single person's role is at a school site, and what an important role they play in the lives of all of our students. Of course, CSEA looks forward to meeting again this upcoming month. I would also like to personally thank our ARE brothers and sisters for wearing blue today. It really meant a lot to us. Saw a lot of solidarity, and we were really grateful for that. But yes, thank you so much for continuing to support classified and certificated members. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hernandez. We will now move to the discussion action items on the agenda. The first one is 6A, Memorandum of Understanding between Roland Unified School District and Los Angeles County Office of Education. Excuse me. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Roland Unified School District and Los Angeles Office of Education?
I'll move.
A second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Motion carries. Item 6B, review and approve 2020-2021 Board of Education meeting schedule. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the draft Board of Education meeting schedule for 2020 and 2021?
I'll move. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Motion carries. Next item is item 6C. This is the second reading of the and approval of board policies that were before us before. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the following board policies? I have to read these. So sit tight. BP 0410, BP 1250. I mean, these are all BPs, meaning board policy. 1250, 1312.1, 1312.3, 4033, 5111.1, 5125, 5131.2, 5141.52, 5145.13, 5145.3, 5145.7, 5145.9, 5146, 6020, 6142.7, 6145, 6145.2, 6145.5. Are there any questions or discussion?
Need a motion. Did you, yeah. Did you get a motion?
Let me have a motion then.
I'll move that we accept.
Second.
Now, is there any discussion?
It was wonderful reading.
Yeah, I just want to say also that these aren't just policies that are being presented tonight. The board and other people within the cabinet and the district have reviewed these policies many times. And like Ms. Embekamp said, they're fascinating reading. Plot's a little boring, though. So no other discussion? Is there a motion to those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. Board policies will be passed. Item 6D, resolution number AS 1920 sub 07, National School Breakfast Week and National Nutrition Month. Can I have a motion and a second to approve resolution AS 1920.07, proclaiming March 2nd through March 6th as 2020 as National Breakfast Week and the month of March as National Nutrition Month?
I move.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. We have another resolution, item 6E. Can I have a motion and a second to approve resolution SO19-2012 proclaiming March 2020 as National Music and Our Schools Month?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Discussion.
Oh, any discussion?
One comment. I think that this one will be even more special now that we have our Performing Arts Center open so that the kids can perform their music concerts in it.
It really showed off what's happening in our district with the Music for All. The kids are getting better, and they put on a fabulous program.
Yeah, I just want to just add that on. The performance, the students in the lower levels that are working their way up to the high school, unbelievable improvement. And I don't know if it's the performing arts studio, but they sounded terrific. So I'm really looking forward to as they move up. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Motion carries. Next one is a resolution. Can I have a motion and a second to approve resolution SO19-2013 proclaiming March 2nd, 2020 as Read Across America Day?
I'll second.
Okay. Do we have a
first? We got to move over.
Oh, okay.
Second.
So we have all those. Any discussion? I want to say that I noticed a lot of these elementary schools are inviting us and other people to come read in the classroom. And I've done it over at Roland Elementary, and that really was fun to do that. So looking forward to going to more elementary schools. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Motion carries. 6G, first reading and review of board policy 5125.1, release of directory information. The board is being asked to receive the first reading and to review board policy 5125.1, release of directory information. Are there any questions on this? Okay. There's no vote necessary. Pupil personnel. Next, we will move to pupil personnel. 7A, RUSD student 1920.06, expulsion. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the expulsion of student 1920.06 from all schools and programs of Roland Unified School District effective February 14th, 2020, with a referral to a county or alternative school outside of the district and placement at an alternative educational program?
I'll move.
A second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anybody oppose? Motion carries. We now move to the consent calendar. Next is the consent calendar. We will approve all of the items in the consent calendar with the exception of those items that were pulled separate for discussion or action items. And we had one that was pulled earlier, which was recognition of Nogales High School, recognition for the ones that went to London, England, due to a conflict in their schedule.
Was that from consent?
Mm-mm. Oh, that wasn't consent? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Wasn't from consent. Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Motion. I move.
I'll all second.
We have motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? No. Motion carries. And finally, we move to, I can get it here. We will now, we are now on the conference section for the board and member comments. We'll start with Ms. Ebbingkamp this evening.
Good evening, everyone. Since we're finishing early, we have a few more people here for this part of the meeting. Today I visited campuses with Ms. Friedman, and it was a very interesting day, and every day I learned something about our schools. Do you remember when you were a kid, or if you're a parent and you take kids to conferences with their teachers? Well, one of our schools, one of our middle schools, the kids are preparing to do the conference themselves with their parent. They go over the list of maybe things they need to work on, where they're having problems, and they work to get their script down, and they meet with their parents and talk about it. And I think it's a wonderful idea. The teachers are there. They're circulating the room, so if a parent has a question, they can answer it. But these kids were working hard, and I was asking one of them, what kind of things are you going to talk about? And one said, well, my grade's not too good in this class, and I have to give some reasons what I can do better to bring it up. And things like tardies, things that they know well and good where their problems are, but it's their job to talk to their parents about it. So I think it's a great idea. I'm anxious to see how it works out. As I said earlier, that performance at the Roland Heights Performing Center was fabulous. The kids were good. The center looked wonderful. And the staff that made all the arrangements to get it going did a great job. We have a new stage director, and he was on top of everything. So I was very pleased with that and hope it gets used a lot. I still continue to remind Dr. Mitchell that I want the principals to make sure that all schools, first period or sometime in the day, do the Pledge of Allegiance. I want to congratulate all the schools that have received awards, and it shows that our principals and teachers and staffs are working hard to bring out the best in their schools. A funny thing happened today at the middle school. as we were getting ready to start, I heard the AP making an announcement. And he was saying, students, I want to remind you, you cannot order food to be delivered to our school for lunch by phone. And I went, I know it was really funny. So anyway, it was a reminder he gave to the students. I just want to say that there isn't anybody on this board that doesn't want to give the most they can to their teachers and staff. And we're working hard to be able to come to some kind of an agreement. So thank you.
Ms. Ebbenkamp? I mean, Ms. Pride?
First, I want to say that the Nogales presentation today for the Spotlight School was awesome. I love those presentations. I'm glad that you initiated that program. Over the last couple of weeks, I've gotten several requests from some of the AVID students and staff to come in. See what they're doing with the program because they know that I really love the AVID program. So I've had the chance to go twice and talk to some of the AVID staff and students to see what's going on and what they're up to right now because this is a busy time of the year for them, especially as they help their students who will be graduating prepare for their next journey. I attended the LAXTA meeting, the Los Angeles County School Trustee Association. Our speaker there was Dr. Pedro Noguera. If you guys don't know him, he's a professor from UCLA who does a lot of speeches on implicit bias and equity in education. And we were very, very lucky to get him to come and speak with us because he makes a lot of money from his speeches, and we couldn't afford to pay him what he makes. But he did us a favor and came and spoke. And he placed a strong emphasis also on adults, especially those working in education, having respect for one another since the students tend to watch us and imitate what we do. So his speech was incredible. If you haven't ever heard him speak, I would encourage you to go to his website or go on YouTube and watch some of his speeches. I attended the Ready, Set, Roland program. Roland High School did a great job giving information to the students, parents, and community about what they have to offer at the school and all the performances that they have to show the incoming students and parents what their students will be doing at once they get to the school. And they also had a really good taco person there. So that always helps. The Performing Arts Center, again, I can't say enough about that. I was actually at the school the night before the grand opening, and I had the opportunity to go in and watch some of the students rehearse, and they were so excited. And just, you know, talking to one of the students, I said, you get to perform on a big stage now. And they're like, finally, you know. So it was so good. And it's so wonderful that we have this for our district. And I'm just so excited at all the performances that are going to be taking place there. Lastly, I had the opportunity to attend the National School Board Association Advocacy Institute, which was just beyond incredible learning experience for me as a school board member. It was very well attended with over 100 school board members from across the country in attendance to lobby their legislators for education. We heard from the Assistant Secretary of Education. His speech was not well received, but we respectfully just kept quiet and walked out and let him talk to an empty room for a few minutes before he realized we did not like what he was saying, which was about vouchers. We also heard from an FCC commissioner about the E-rate, which is a big thing for us, and we need to make sure that we keep that funded completely. So while she agreed with us, we don't know what the higher-ups will do about that. The other big thing was about recruiting and retaining teachers. And Dr. Mitchell and I had met before I went to the Institute, and one of her ideas was about making sure that when we recruit teachers and they do that, they're working on their student teaching, what kind of support can be given to them financially to help them get through that process so that it alleviates having to take out maybe some additional student loans for that extra time. And I did bring that up at the Institute, and it was very, very well received. And one of the other big things for me was the main focus was on IDEA, which is the Individual with Disabilities Act. And my favorite part of this is that they're looking at trying to make sure that we start servicing our students with special needs at an earlier age. So they're looking from birth to age 3 to getting them into programs and, you know, making sure that they get the services that they need right away. There was a lot of time and focus spent on that, and I learned so much about IDEA while I was there. We met with lots of staffers from Kamala Harris's office, Feinstein's office, Napolitano's office. The senators were a bit busy when we were there because the impeachment hearings were going on that day, and it was the day of the State of the Union as well when we were on Capitol Hill. So it was a very busy day, but we appreciated them accommodating us, and I have sent thank you letters to all of the people that we met with. We also met with very, very briefly with a staffer from Pelosi's office. And let's see here. Oh, while I was there, too, I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with our CSBA legislative advocate, Erica Hoffman, and the CSBA president, the California School Board Association president, who is also from Azusa Unified School District. And we actually had the opportunity to talk about some of the things at the state level that's important to us in education and not just look at the things on the federal level. So it was a very educational journey, and I think that it made a lot of difference. We received letters of thanks from the staffers and stated that they're, you know, taking our positions into consideration, and I plan to keep bugging them now that I, you know, have met with them to make sure that they stick to their word. And that's it.
Ms. Friedman?
You'll be shocked, it's shorter than usual. I really enjoyed the Nogales High School presentation, and I wanted to thank Maria for the nutrition services presentation. Today in the consent calendar, we approved many field trips, and I was happy to approve all of them. This is so important for our students' educational experience. I attended Oswald Academy 6th grade's inquiry into the barriers we face. Exhibitions were incredible. The 6th graders' presentations were fabulous, actually amazing. Students' hard work really paid off, and most students memorized their speeches. The subjects that they researched were very critical: depression, child labor, etc. On the depression one, the kids were talking, and they said, oh, we're going to break for a commercial. And then two kids were like, have you felt depressed? Do you know what depression means? And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then the child labor one, you are going to be shocked with this. I didn't believe it. I had to ask. They said that Hershey and Nestle uses child labor for their factories. And so they're going to try a week of no chocolate. They said, I know it's going to be hard, but just try to boycott chocolate that week. And I said, really? How do you know that? And they said, we researched it, and we found 4 different places that for sure it was fact. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I was in shock. The kids really did a good job. I continue to visit our schools, one of my favorite things, and all the classrooms that I have observed had excellent teaching and learning. The lessons were great. Students were engaged, and technology was present. At Giano, I really enjoyed observing their interventions tutorial class for 43 minutes in the morning. Every day they have that. Some classes had 20 students. Students were working on their writing for their parent conference. Very impressive. That's what Lynn was talking about. And so these students will sit with their parents, go over their grades. The teacher will be there to answer any questions and tell them about their grades and why they're getting those grades. Wow, I've never heard of anything like that. That's really good. At Northam and Via Corta, I observed small groups, students in pairs, teacher-directed group one-to-one, etc. It was excellent. And then I'm hoping on Friday, February 21st, there will be a settlement. And I wanted to say happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Mr. Chen?
Since I joined the board in 2009, I feel this board work professionally, and we work very well. And we never seen any bullying happening in our board. Never. So I don't understand where the rumor comes from. So stop the rumor. I was very excited to see the Performing Arts Center grand opening. And it was a very high standard facility in this area. It's number one in acoustic design, seating, stage, and all very very high standard, and the grand opening, we had a very high standard performance. So I'm very glad to see it. I hope we'll have planned for best use of it, so utilize the facility. Don't let it empty. So I like to see the performance every day we have that. Yeah. I had to share with you my thought of or what my observe of the recent coronavirus breakout. What I observe is the reaction is very different from the Asian community and the rest of the world. The main reason is the information resources different. I receive a lot of information from China or from Asian country. So over there it's very serious, very chaos. The over 40,000 people affected it, and over 2,000 death. Yeah, so they're very serious. And the worst thing is the coronavirus has a 14 days or more incubation period. So if you don't feel that, you don't even know you're infected, but you can transmit to other people. That's what's scary. That's how the Asian community or Chinese community are very scary, especially in Roland Heights. We have a large population of Asian community here. So recently, since January, I received a lot of requests and then questions to why the school don't supply masks to other at least to the counter workers, which for those people who interact with the guests or the visitors from the community. And I think that's also a big concern. We do had reported from one of our school when the parents come into the counter and ask it for questions for the enrollment and they check the passport, it just arrived a few days ago, less than 14 days. So that scared the people, this because 14 days, within 14 days, is still in incubation period, so still has high risk for transmitting the virus to other people. So that's why the reaction in Asian community and the rest of the world is very different. The Asian community, the people in the Asian community are very concerned about the virus. So I'm glad our district has done quick and has done a lot, reacted to the virus and clean, sending supplies and clean up the facilities, clean up the schools, and then you have we have done a lot. I know that, but the community still have a big concern about that. So, so stay healthy, and I hope it's over soon. In another 2 weeks, and it probably will be over because of the period. It will be over. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Since you brought that up, Mr. Flores and Dr. Mitchell have been working quite intensely on that same topic. And do you want to just mention a few words on that?
So, yes, as we've kept the board informed and been working very closely with our employees, we have been doing increasing our cleaning of all of our classrooms, all of our door handles, all of our common use spaces across the district, and then also been using special machines for disinfecting. We have been in constant communication with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. Our lead nurse, Debbie Gotti, is in daily communication, working under the direction of Dr. Kevin Despard. And knowing that this was a concern that Mr. Chen had, we did call to ask again, because the World Health Organization, the Center for Disease Control, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and then LACO, all four organizations that we're working with and get direction from, have all stated publicly they do not recommend the use of masks. And so we wanted to double check to see if there's anything that had changed. So we did, Debbie Gotti, again, our lead nurse, called Dr. Dilchek, who is with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, for the directives and any changes regarding masks. And the doctor shared that they should only be worn by persons who are symptomatic of illness. Wearing masks gives a false sense of security in avoiding illness. Wearing masks for a period of time collects moisture and becomes a magnet for droplets, sprays, and air particles. Washing of hands with soap and water frequently is a best practice. If soap and water is not available, the use of hand sanitizer should be used. And there's several pieces that are there. And again, we are in conversation. There's also a number of additional health risks for folks that may have any, you know, asthma or any other issues to wearing masks. And they recommend that they work with their own doctor should that be something that they wish to do. So in addition to cleaning, we have ordered 900 bottles of hand sanitizer, and those are being distributed out to all of our commons, all of our classrooms and areas across the district as well. And lastly, any employee or any student who chooses to wear a mask is absolutely allowed to do so. That is their choice. No one has nor ever will be asked to remove it. And so there are conversations that they have with their doctors or with themselves, and they'd like to wear a mask, they're absolutely allowed to do so. So should there be a different direction from the board, we'd be happy to entertain it. Any other further work you'd like us to do on it, we'd be happy to address that. But this was just the latest direction, again, from the medical professions with the Department of County Public Health.
Could I ask a question about it?
Yeah.
Are you doing special cleansing of the buses, too?
Yes. Okay. So those are being wiped down as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Finally, I want to congratulations again on Blanford, Killian, Yabara for being named California Distinguished Schools. I attended the ceremony last Monday, was it? I think it was Monday.
Monday.
It's been a while now. Last Monday, and the staff that was there were just outstanding, celebrating the event. And I want to thank the principals of those three schools for allowing me to attend that event. The keynote speaker that day was Tony Thurman, State Superintendent of Public Education. If you want to hear a exciting speaker, he's the one you want to listen to. He is so down to earth, and he just speaks to you like he's your best friend. And it's just great listening to his story and where he came from and how he worked his way up. And it's an amazing story, his story alone. But he's just a really good keynote speaker, so I really enjoyed listening to him. Second is the ribbon cutting, and the new performance theater was terrific, as was said. We got to keep in mind that this is for the district, this performing arts theater, and happens to be located at Roland High School, but it's for the district. But I want to thank Mr. Flores and his staff, because these buildings don't magically appear overnight. There's a lot of coordination and a lot of pain that goes behind erecting these buildings, and it falls mainly on Mr. Flores and his staff, and it came out beautiful. Thank you. I went to the Ready, Set, Go event at Roland High School, and similar to Nogales High School that presented tonight, they have a wide range of everything that they're offering their students there, from service clubs to technical education to academics, to peer counseling. It was just great to hear Nogales is offering the same variety. The event that I coordinate, the annual Heart and Soul event, will be next Friday, the 21st, at Family Resource Center from 2:30 to 4:30. Stop by if you want to see some smiling faces as kids get their new shoes. And a couple of schools are writing little notes of encouragement that we're inserting inside the shoes. So when they get the shoes, there'll be a little note of encouragement in there. And the and we're also doing a sock drive. When I just want to let people know that when people get up here and speak, I know myself and the rest of the board here, we listen intently what they're saying, and it means something to us. And I know I'm getting old because some of the stuff they say, I say, I just don't remember it. Now, I don't know if it's good or bad. But the good thing is that there is a website out there that has videos. And as you know, my middle name is Mr. Transparency. And so I thought I'd just go to that website to see what did I say about transparency. And if you go to the March 9th, 2016 website, meeting, look at the video and you'll see what I said about transparency. And 2016, March 9th, 2016, I had a long discussion on transparency. And just watch that and you'll see how I view transparency. And you can make up your mind if I take it seriously or not. And finally, this month is going to be a busy month because it's President's Day this month, Black History Month, so there's going to be a lot of celebrations going on. And tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So I want to encourage everybody to wear red tomorrow in honor of Valentine's Day. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Can I just say one more thing? I think tomorrow morning is a Stars and Starbucks event to raise money for our special needs students. Starts at 8:30 here at the district office.
So it's here at the district office with our Stars adult transition program. They have their it's part of their learning, so it's not necessarily a fundraiser activity per se, but it is part of their learning, and so they do cook treats, and then they make coffee, and so it's providing change and working with the public and sharing and so forth. So we do it right here in the atrium. Okay. It's 8 until 10, or 8, they're 8:30, 8:30 to 10:30. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I provide a piece of clarification?
Yeah.
I just also want to clarify to the board to make sure that the conversation that we had regarding coronavirus, that is not anyone's my personal recommendation. That is coming from medical professionals. So Debbie Gotti, our lead nurse, is taking lead, and the information that I shared is from the medical professionals, the doctor from Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. And so we know our areas of expertise. That is not one of them, and so we refer to the experts and take guidance from the experts for that work.
And she draws information from infectious disease also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we do not need to return to closed session. So we'll have an early end tonight. Can I have a motion and a second to adjourn the regular board meeting of the Rowland Unified School District Board of Education?
I'll move.
A second?
A second.
Mr. Chen seconds. Those in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Discussion? Meeting will be adjourned at 7:22. Thank you. He is so neat.